Joining us now to talk about that and so much more is none other than Congressman Blaine Lukedemeyer. He's at Rep. Blaine on Twitter. Congressman, good to speak with you. Are you back here in Missouri as well?
Yes, we are, Tim. Great to be with you again. This is the first time in 7 weeks that we've been home for a district work period. So I've got a busy week this week trying to get out and about and talk to a lot of the constituents and small business folks and get back in the swing of things with the constituents instead of the swamp there in D.C.
Boy, Blaine, with Speaker Pelosi and Maxine Waters running things in D.C., it's a good thing it's shut down. It's shut down for a few days, right?
Yeah, you and I had a conversation last week, I believe it was, and told you a story about Maxine, who, in her first, chairing the first Financial Services Committee in her 28 years, and before the thing was half over, she got into it with one of her self-appointed subcommittee chairs, undermined her, and turned right around and fired somebody standing behind her who hadn't done something she wanted to do. I mean, the first hearing wasn't half over, and she'd already gone down that road. So this is going to be an interesting 2 years. Hopefully that's all they last. They have difficulty figuring out how to govern, as evidenced by Maxine's first hearing. And so, it's going to be a show. I tell people there'll be a lot of people tuning in to C-SPAN watching financial services instead of their daytime TV.
Yeah, Blaine, tell us. So, put this in practical terms for our listeners. What is elections have consequences, and so we have to deal with this for the next 2 years and hopefully only the next 2 years. But what is a Chairwoman Maxine Waters agenda for our financial services world here in the country?
Well, basically, it's all going to be about consumers and how she truly believes that that in order for a business to succeed, they have to take advantage of every single customer that walks in the door, which is a nonsensical way of looking at business. But that's what she and the far left believe. They've stated that in committee. I'm not saying that on my own. I've heard this stated in committee before. So this is where they come from, and all the hearings are going to be from that point of view. Instead of how can we help people have better access to credit and financial services at a better cost, they're going to be worried about somebody going out and taking advantage of somebody, which there's plenty of laws in place right now to protect them against that. We need to figure out how to tweak those laws to better able people have access to credit, and that's not where she wants to go. So it's unfortunate because it's a very powerful committee, one of the top four committees in Congress, and she's going to misuse and abuse that thing if you look at the first few hearings that she's got scheduled.
Blaine, that's a great point. You and I have talked about that as well. The fact that over the last 2 years, we didn't hear any horror stories from consumers. We didn't hear anything bad coming from people dealing with the banking industry. But as you pointed out, the economy roared into life because President Trump started deregulating the massive regulation that the Barack Obama presidency stood for, right?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are just astounding. I mean, we've, we created over 300,000 jobs just last month in January during the time when we were in a shutdown, right after Christmas, when you would have thought all the people that were on a part-time basis would have gotten unemployment slips because of the Christmas rush prior to that. And now, no, instead, there was more jobs that were created and filled. And, our economy is going gangbusters. Before Christmas, end of the year, the stock market was going down. Everybody's wringing their hands and, oh, we're in for a recession. And then I saw a high headline just this past week in the Wall Street Journal said, well, it looks like we've got 2 or 3 years ahead of us that are going to be in good shape. So the people at the Fed, the economists over there, and the people in the stock market have absolutely no clue what they're doing. Mm. If they just look at the basics of what goes on in our economy and how how the money is flowing back to the businesses, is going back to the individuals, to the consumers, and they can spend it as they see fit. That spreads the money around the economy in an even way, and everybody benefits. And as a result of that, you're seeing unbelievable growth, and you will continue to see unbelievable growth. If you listen to Lawrence Kudlow, he will tell you that this is what's going to happen. He's been saying this for a long, long time, and the economists keep poo-pooing this and, no, it's not going to happen. And instead, he just keeps being right over and over and over again because he understands the fundamentals of what makes our economy go. So we got low energy prices. Every day you go fill your gas tank, it's like a tax cut because it costs less than it did 6 months ago. Interest rates continue to be historically low. There is plenty of money in the system. We are the biggest and most dynamic economy in the world, and we get these trade deals settled. I think we're in for two or three several years of great times because the rest of the world is waiting on us to drag them along. They want to hook their wagon to our train, and it can be done. The president's got a three-legged stool to get our economy going: deregulation, tax cuts, and trade policy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the first two done. He's working on the trade policy, and he's getting close. And I had a chance to talk to Peter Navarro this past week, who is the trade guru for the administration, and he's excited about the opportunities that he sees with China, and which was news to me. I was kind of looking at it with kind of a jaded eye. They're kind of a two-step forward, one-step backward group to deal with there, but he felt very good that we were headed in the right direction and could come out of the next few weeks with some good announcements. So I'm encouraged by that. We'll continue to see the North American agreement and the European Union agreements move forward. So I think we're in for, you know, the groundwork is laid, and I think that if these trade agreements come to pass, that will be the third leg of the three-legged stool that will really solidify, I think, our economy long term.
Congressman, Tony Colombo's got a question, but I want to ask you, I want to follow up on the trade thing because you gave me some insight on that. Again, and we're speaking to Congressman Blaine Lucktemeyer, and Blaine, the left has been wrong on every single economic move the president has taken. They were wrong about, you know, his deregulation, his tax cut plan, which has helped American small businesses. They've gone silent on this trade issue because they said, Blaine, that if Donald Trump dared to take on the Chinese and dared to engage in a, quote, trade war, it would be the end of the world as we know it. But you pointed out to me the Chinese are already buckling under the pressure of Donald Trump and our incredible economy, lowering tariffs on automobiles. I mean, Blaine, it was very important for the president to do this, right? Because everybody else has just kicked this can down the road.
Yeah, you know, he gets criticized for finally stepping up and saying, you know what, enough's enough. We've got to start pushing back. And it's like, well, everybody's been saying this for the last 20-plus years, and he's been saying it, too. This isn't something he's decided to do overnight here. He's been a strong advocate for better trade deals for a long, long time. And so now he's doing that. Everybody's kind of wringing their hands. Oh, we don't want to get in a trade war. Well, you know what? If you're going to swing at the bully on the playground and hit him, you better be willing to hit him again and again and again to push him off the playground. Otherwise, you don't want to pick that fight. And we've never been willing to pick that fight. But President Trump said, look, these people are picking our pockets clean by taking our intellectual property from us. They are confronting us at every step of the way, going in the back door with their goods and services and subverting the trade deals that we have with them, the tariffs that we have with them, by coming in other countries, through other countries. And he said, it's enough. They are undermining our economy. They're undermining our workers. And we got to get this stopped. And he is adamant about it. And he has got them in a box right now with the leverage he has from the standpoint of a growing economy that we have, a strong military that we have, and the agreements he's put in place with the North American folks, and now the one he's working on with the EU. If you imagine the three largest economies in the world, China, North America, and the European Union, and you have the North Americans and Europeans all on the same page, suddenly the Chinese are the odd man out. And I can tell you, having talked to some folks in Japan, they are anxious to talk to us to get the trade deal worked out with them, and we already got one worked out with South Korea. So the people in the same hemisphere over there with the Chinese understand they've got to get to the table quick because they don't want to be undermined whatever kind of deal the Chinese cut. So the president's got the leverage as the Chinese economy continues to weaken. They got over 4% inflation. Unemployment is going up.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have unemployment, that is millions and millions and millions of people that are unemployed, not just a few thousand.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a big, big problem for the leaders over there, because when you have lots of people like that unemployed and they're getting a little restless, that means you've got a revolution right down the road. So their leadership is very sensitive to their economy. They're very sensitive to the way that this whole thing is playing out. And if the president wanted to tomorrow, you know, they trade with us to the tune of $500 billion a year, Tim.
Wow.
If we said tomorrow we're going to freeze that up, you know, this is it. What's nonsense? We're tired of playing with you guys. You don't play on a level playing field, and just shut the ports off. All that stuff would start backing up in China and would devastate their economy. And they know that. They know the president is somebody who, when he says something, means it. He's not somebody that draws a line in the sand and backs up and draws another line in the sand. He's somebody that draws a line in the sand and steps over and says, I dare you to come meet me. And that has been intimidating to the rest of the world. I can tell you that the Chinese have been contacting lots and lots of people who have dealt with Donald Trump on a personal basis, on a business basis, and they're trying to figure out how to deal with him. They want to know what buttons to push, what makes him tick, where you can confront him, where you can pull the bluff on him, and they haven't figured it out yet. So they're at the table. They called him and said, "Hey, we need to meet." And so they've been meeting at sort of a lower level for quite some time. We're anxious to get the lower level deals done so that the president can come in and close the deal, President Xi. And so we'll see how it plays out. But I was thinking it'd take another year and a half, 2 years to get it done. But it looks like by the end of the year, this thing may be done because the Chinese are anxious to get something done. So we'll see how it plays out. Again, caution everybody, it's a two-step forward, one-step backward process. You know, they're going to try and pull a deal where they overextend, overplay their hand. President's going to back off, or they'll back off. And so then they'll wait a while and go back to the table. This is going to play out over the next several months. So just be ready for it.
Congressman Luke DeMeyer, it's Tony Colombo. It's very encouraging to hear that there is progress being made, because there's I think a lot of us that believe, with the House being under Democratic control, their agenda seems to be nothing about presenting ideas or getting anything accomplished. It seems to be that it's only resist the president and, you know, just seemingly almost grind everything to a halt. Is there reason for optimism between for people like me who kind of believe that? Will you guys be able to continue to push forward with the presidential or the conservative agenda, even with losing the House a couple months ago?
Well, no, that's a great question, Tony. I don't think we're going to be able to do a lot along those lines. We don't have the House, and we don't have 60 votes in the Senate. I think you can see by the budget bill that we passed last week, it's a lousy bill, and you're going to probably get more lousy bills like that because the president is going to have to negotiate with the Democrats. We as Republicans are kind of on the sidelines here, although we did get some stuff in there, you know, some pro-life language, and we were able to get most of what he wanted on the border control stuff. But you know, the Democrats have got him over the barrel, and he has to negotiate a lot with them. So we have to do, as people, as members of the House, are fine issues that are something that the Democrats may actually work with us on a little bit, or something that down the road we can leverage that against something that they do want. So I've told my colleagues, I said, what we have to do is we have to have a list of about, let's say, 10 bills, and we give it to our colleagues in the Senate, especially since I work on financial services. Let's just use Senator Crapo, he's the chairman of the banking committee over there. And we'll give him a list of 10 bills, and whenever he has to negotiate with the Democrats, they'll want something, and he'll say, well, okay, we'll give you this, but then we get this. And so if you give them something, then they have to give us something, and that may be one way that we can get maybe one or two of those bills on that list of 10 actually passed. So it's going to be a tit-for-tat. It's going to be a compromise. It's going to be a negotiated settlement, even more so than what it was because of the House being in Democrat hands. But you're going to continue to see that difficulty of getting things done because the Democrats, as you say, they do not want to do anything. They want to obstruct. They want, and this is all about the election of 2020 already. Mm-hmm. They're trying to stop the president from having any gains whatsoever, any successes whatsoever. They don't want him to have anything. And so anytime we pass a bill, it's something that he can hang his hat on, and they don't like that to happen. So they're going to be obstinate about every single thing that comes through.
Congressman Blaine Luke DeMeyer, thank you so much for joining us today, Blaine. Folks can follow you at Rep Blaine on Twitter. Congressman, keep fighting the good fight up there. I know you got your hands full.
We'll keep fighting, Tim. Good to be with you again, and take care.
Thanks, Blaine. I'll see you soon, I'm sure. Yeah, that was Congressman Blaine Luke DeMeyer at Rep Blaine.